welcome to another episode of Mahogany and Willow. Today, we're talking about emotional intelligence. And I have a guest that I absolutely adore and I listen to on a regular basis simply because she's my dearest friend. But I want to tell you why you want to listen to her. Timmy Jackson is my guest today, and she's a certified holistic health and life coach. She's very good at her job, and she's done many years of training to get there. Today, we're talking about emotional intelligence, and most of us believe emotions cause lots of problems, personally, professionally, and collectively. We believe emotions are either positive or negative. Many people feel emotions are hard to manage and complicated. Because of all this, we avoid, repress, resist, and have a very challenging relationship with our emotions. By the end of this episode, we want you to have a better relationship with your emotions and hopefully even be able to allow and accept emotions as a very particular type of communication system we have with life. We hope you will begin to feel safer experiencing and expressing your emotions. Maybe you will understand emotions are a powerful tool you can use to transform your life. But at the very least, we hope you will have a fresh perspective about emotions and the cooperative partnership between us and life, of which those emotions are actually the facilitator. To begin, let's suspend what we think we already know about emotions and lay a brand new foundation for which we can become far more emotionally intelligent. The foundation is there are no negative emotions. I know, that might sound a bit far-fetched, but there really are no negative emotions. We all know the difference between emotions which feel good and emotions which don't. There are obviously emotions that we want to feel. We call those positive emotions. And there are emotions we don't want to feel, and we call them negative. But there truly are no negative emotions. Emotions are simply energy in its purest form. This energy is moving into and flowing around us at all times. Emotions are that energy's way of informing us how we are interacting or cooperating with life in each present moment. Let's build some structure on this new foundation. There are no negative emotions, but there are allowed and accepted emotions, and there are resisted and repressed emotions. We can resist and repress positive emotions as well as negative ones. We can accept and allow negative emotions as well as positive ones. This simple understanding creates a powerful framework for why and how emotions can cause us great difficulty or incredible empowerment in our lives. Repressed or resisted emotions are hard to manage. They're challenging and they're painful. They become trapped energy inside of us, which is forced to spin around and around itself indefinitely. If we have repressed and resisted emotions inside, we create negative outcomes in our lives, our relationships, our careers, etc. The emotions don't cause the negative outcomes. Our resistance and repression of the natural flow of energy causes negative outcomes. Conversely, we can understand how accepted and allowed emotions would give the natural flow of energy a free, open path through which to move through and around us. These accepted and allowed emotions not only permit energy to move freely, but also create open spaces into which more feel-good emotions can flow into our awareness. Understanding what emotions are gives us the ability to use them as a tool. Recognizing the distinction between our emotions gives us the ability to utilize this tool wisely and effectively. And this is why I have brought in my friend, Timmy. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing well. Truly well.
Good. I'm so glad to hear that. So, Timmy, how do we become more familiar with our emotions?
There's a couple steps, I think. The first one is we have to develop a language of emotions. Most of us live, I like to call it the 8 crayon box versus the 152 crayon box.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
So, we have happy, mad, sad, glad, bored, maybe, you know, a few more sprinkled in. But there's so many emotions: surprise, playful, powerless, revulsion, awful, frustrated, insecure, anxious, amazed, proud, courageous.
Right.
And developing a language would be, I have what's called an emotion wheel. You can look it up online. It probably is the 152 crayon box of emotions. And you really want to start paying attention to, what emotion am I feeling? This is where self-awareness comes in. What emotion am I feeling? And that's the first step. You got a language of emotion, so you got something to look at. And how do I feel? Do I feel this? Do I feel that? You start to become more nuanced with the plethora of feelings that are out there. And you can ask yourself questions: how does that feel in my body? Where is it located in my body? Is there a color to it? As you start to become aware of, like, if I'm angry, how do I know I'm angry? And you can check within yourself, oh, my heart's beating faster. My skin's getting red and hot. My thoughts are speeding up. So there has to be not only a language of emotions or feelings, but we also have to start paying attention to what's going on within us, so we know this is what I'm feeling. I like to use metaphors. And one of the metaphor is, we have this wild child that is trying to get our attention, and it is getting louder and louder and more annoying and more frustrating. And what this is just an emotion or a feeling that's saying, hey, pay attention to me. And part of the getting familiar with our emotions is really giving that wild child the attention that it so desperately is asking for.
Okay.
And as we pay attention and start to go within, and we say, okay, what am I feeling? Where is it in my body? I'm listening to you. What do you have to say to me? That opens a whole new door to understanding ourselves and what's happening and what we need.
So if we're not familiar with our emotions at first, is there a way to tell when you've found the emotion? Or is finding the emotion even so important? Is it more just being curious, being open to what the emotions are? Or do we have to find the bottom emotion to something?
I think it helps both ways. It kind of depends on the situations. So for practicing, it really helps to look at, you can Google emotion wheel, or you can Google emotions and look at all the different emotions. That is just a practice to help you become aware of emotions at the beginning. It becomes easier and more of a habit to understand, oh, that's what I'm feeling. That's what I'm feeling. To get to the bottom of it, sometimes it does help, because I have it in my brain that for the most part, our feelings are attached to a thought. For the most part. I mean, if somebody jumps out at me as I'm walking down an alleyway, I'm not thinking, I'm just reacting. But for the most part, someone can look at me and I start thinking something, and then I feel scared, or I feel like, oh, what is he thinking? What's happening? My thought is what's creating a feeling. So sometimes if I have a feeling and I can backtrack, what is the thought that created this feeling? Is it a true thought? Is it accurate? Or is it just a thought that's optional and I can get rid of it and think a different thought and feel a different feeling?
Oh, nice.
If that makes any sense.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. So once we identify the feelings, how would we then go into, you know, for the purpose of emotional intelligence, how would we then go into using that information as something that we can then transform our lives with?
I think it's developing a relationship, which is exactly what you said at the introduction to this podcast, is it helps us develop a relationship with, oh, I'm feeling angry now. Why am I feeling angry? What is this anger about? Is it a thought that I'm thinking that's true or not true? Is it telling me something? Is it giving me some information that is very valuable. Somebody's stepping on my toes and I'm angry and I'm going to yell so they can get off my toe. The other aspect is truly feeling it, sitting with it, befriending it, allowing ourselves to just be with it. Because once you have that feeling and you're allowing yourself to sit with it, it doesn't take long for it to dissipate.
Right.
Just like that wild child. Once you start paying attention to that wild child, whether it's ecstatic or happiness or anger or depression, once you start paying attention to that, once you start paying attention and you're aware of it, you can't pay attention to it if you're not aware of it.
Right.
But once you start paying attention to it, it's like that wild child is like, finally, I'm being heard. Now I can just settle. And pretty soon that emotion just dissipates because it's been heard, it's been listened, and you have more valuable information as to what to do moving forward.
Right.
Because again, those emotions give us some very important insight as to what is happening in our world and what do I need to change.
Now, this is something that you've helped me with a lot, actually, as my dearest friend. There's tools that you use and that you know of that are like regulatory tools. Can we talk about that?
There are some that I can share with you. Some of them are visual, so I'll share with you the ones that are not visual, and maybe you can add some to your Facebook page or your social media pages. One of them is four square breathing, where you breathe in to a count of four, hold for a count of four, breathe out for a count of four, hold for a count of four, and start the process over. By paying attention to it and knowing the intensity levels of your emotions, if the intensity level of the emotions are too high, sometimes you just have to experience it. It's like jumping out of an airplane. You have to go down. There's no stopping in the middle. And that's what's happening there is your brain is the amygdala hijack. The amygdala hijacks your brain when you're in those high intensity emotions and you do not have access to your prefrontal cortex, which is the logical aspect of your brain. So until you start to realize that you're not as in danger, let's say it's fear and it's high intense fear, until you realize you're not in danger, then until you realize that and you start to get your prefrontal cortex back, the logic back, you just have to sit it out and just let it happen. Once you start to have that logic kicking in, you can distract yourself. You can get up and move to a different area. You can put on some specific music that may just be calming music. Or if that's too much, you can't go from one extreme to the other. So you could put on music that feels just a little bit better and is a little bit more soothing. You can push against a wall. Let's say, for instance, if you're feeling so angry and you're starting to realize that it's anger has taken over, you can put all of your energy and just push against a wall or push against a tree. We've had conversations where you could scream curse words really loud and just get it out.
Oh my gosh, that was so hard for me. I was going through a divorce and... I remember you making me do that. And I live on a country road and I got out on the country road and I thought, okay, Timmy says, and I had to drive up and down my road three times. I mean, no traffic or anything, but that one was difficult.
Yeah.
But it was so good afterward. I think that was the thing that literally changed that experience for me.
Just allowing yourself to mm-hmm. feel what you're feeling by expressing it in some way. And screaming loud at the top of your lungs and using a curse word, if you don't ever use a curse word or if you do, sometimes just letting it out is what you have to do to kind of bring yourself back to balance. But you're honoring it.
Right.
You're honoring it. Sometimes for regulating emotions, I'll throw on some music and the flavors vary of the music. Sometimes it's really intense and angry music, and sometimes it's flowy music and calming music. Sometimes it's happy, upbeat music. Music is very beneficial in being able to dial up your emotions or dial down your emotions. if you're feeling really emotional and you're just not ready to deal with it, these are things that you can do to distract yourself. You can go put on funny YouTube videos. You could call a friend and talk about something that has nothing to do with what you're going through right now. Look at your hand, and your hand has five fingers on it. So it's like, let me come up with five things that I'm seeing in this very moment. It'll take you back to your present moment. Present moment, mindfulness. You do a lot of mindfulness activities, and I know that's been very beneficial for you. Yeah. Mindfulness is very beneficial to helping regulate your emotions. Back to the five fingers, we all have our hand, so we can always look at our hand and say, okay, what is five things that I'm seeing right this very moment, five things that I'm hearing right this very moment, five things that I can touch, and you really feel what you're touching. Just something like that can help move the dial from the emotion from very intense to something that you can actually work with and handle. The other thing you can do is dancing. I talk about music, but dancing is a great way to let emotions flow through your body, because you can go flowy, you can go rock rage, you can go punk, bouncing up and down. So dancing, you could just actually be pleasantly, swaying. Dance is a really good way to express emotions and is regulating, because you're getting a chance to kind of modulate your emotions yourself through the avenue of dance. For some of my clients, when they get angry, I have them stomp their feet. That's equivalent to pushing against a wall as hard as you can, but stomping your feet, I have a little rebounder. And my rebounder, sometimes I'm happy on it and I'm dancing happy dance move, and sometimes I'm really angry and I am just jumping and getting into it with my fists, like in the air. So those are some other things you can do to help regulate emotions.
There's probably things that we can learn from kids, only in the sense that they just don't try to avoid any emotions. So we think of things like temper tantrums and the things, crying even. Mm-hmm. We think of those things and we try not to let our children experience those. And in actuality, we probably have a lot more that we could learn from them.
Absolutely. I mean, if you do look at kids, they allow the emotion to come through them. It's gone in a heartbeat, and then they're back to playing. I mean, how many times have you watched a child throw a temper tantrum, and then in the next minute, they're just bouncing around playing and laughing? So yeah, they're a perfect example of how to allow the emotions to flow through us. Now, as adults, we don't necessarily have that opportunity if we're at work or if we're at a family event, or if, we're out in public at a grocery store and we got a text that just threw us for a loop one way or the other. We don't have that ability to just allow it to flow through us.
Right. So what are some of the suggestions that you would have when we're in those experiences where we are feeling the feeling, but the activity that we might want to use to regulate isn't exactly available to us at that moment?
Yeah, it's definitely not conducive to push against a wall and stomp our feet at work, but sometimes we want to.
Right.
Some of the things that can be very helpful in those situations is having some self-talk. And part of the whole beginning of this conversation that we had, the language of emotions and being aware of our emotions, if it's the awareness, and I'm going to throw this in there. So I could have a coworker and they're doing something and I flip my lid. They call it flipping your lid. And I snap at somebody. And then afterwards I think to myself, whoa, where did that come from? The intensity of my emotion definitely did not equal what was going on. So in those moments at work, when you become aware of that, or any place that you're in, when you become aware of it, part of it is you have the understanding of what your emotions are, and you can kind of go back. What I did in a situation similar to that was I calmed myself down. I got my logic brain back, and I kind of retraced my step. I'm going to answer your question in a minute, but this is just an example of what can happen. I retraced my thoughts, and I realized my heart was racing before I snapped. My thoughts were super fast. They were just going like at lightning speed. And had I known that, I could have caught myself before it got to that intense level. So one thing I really would like people to get is what we're talking about today is a skill you can learn. It takes practice. It takes practice learning what are emotions, what are my emotions, what does it feel like within my body, and what's the intensity level. And as you start to learn where the intensity level is on the emotions that you're feeling, the lower the emotions, the more practice you have, the easier it gets. So it's easier to not get to level 10 anger. It's so much more easy. So say you did get to that level and you need to kind of calm down because you're at work and you cannot carry that anger over and you cannot process that anger in the situation you're at. You can't sit there and feel it. What you can do is you can excuse yourself in whatever form you need to. Oh, I need to use the restroom, or I just need to step out for a second. I'll be right back. And you can do those breathing exercises. So it's a matter of, let me excuse myself for a second. Then you can gather yourself. And while you're gathering yourself, it's really important to have a conversation with yourself. Just like that wild child that we talked about in the beginning acting up, let me honor her or him by saying, I hear you. I know you're trying to tell me something and it's really important. This is not something we're going to deal with at the moment, but I promise you later tonight at say 6 o'clock, we're going to spend 20 minutes. I'm going to journal. I'm going to kind of just pay attention to what's going on. I'm going to sit with this feeling and understand what was going on so that I can get the message clearly. The key to that is making sure you follow through, because just like any child, if you tell them you're going to do something, okay, fine, we'll deal with this later. She's going to listen to me later. But if you don't, it's just going to get louder. So it's very important to follow through on that. But self-talk is very important in those situations. For example, you talk to yourself and say, okay, look, I hear you. I understand what's going on. We're going to have this conversation later and we will take care of this. We will have a relationship together. I'm befriending you. I'm going to sit with you and I'm going to hear you out and I'm going to hold you and we're going to deal with this. In the meantime, I have to continue on with work, or I have to continue on with whatever it is I'm doing. So that's where the self-talk can come in, is just being kind to yourself, loving yourself, and throwing in some distractions. Okay, I'm at work. Let me see, what's the task at hand? Or I'm at a family event. Oh, who's around me? Let me go talk to this person about something completely different.
Yes, I love those.
The one thing I'd like to offer is emotional intelligence is a skill that everyone can learn. It takes practice. Practice, practice, practice. I cannot emphasize that enough. So you want to become self-aware. You want to learn the language of emotions, including how it feels in your body, so you can know what the cues are, so you know what you're feeling and what it's saying to you. And I'd also like to invite everyone through this process of learning about emotional intelligence is to simply allow every emotion. Be willing to sit in the discomfort of feelings you want to run from. Become friends with your feelings, not just the so-called positive ones.
Well, I appreciate you joining me today, Timmy, so much. This has been a great conversation. I hope we've given you fresh perspectives on what emotions actually are, why they're such a valuable communication system, and how important they are to our lives, how repressed and resisted emotions can wreak havoc for us, and how simply allowing emotions can create a better relationship with ourselves. And also, how to embrace and understand your emotions, which will give you an amazing ability to create personal, lasting, powerful transformation in your own life. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Mahogany and Willow, because there's always something important to talk about.
With friends.